please remain standing for our scripture reading. And also, we'd like to, if you haven't noticed yet, Pastor Doug's not here, so we'd like to welcome Mr. Eric Stoops to give our message today. So I'd like to pray for Eric right now that, Lord Father, we just pray that Eric, that you touch him, Lord, and give us what we need, Father, that you speak through him, Lord, that you may touch hearts that need touching, Father. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You may be seated. I'm going to use the scripture throughout the sermon. So, and one thing is going to be Matthew 7. I'm hearing all kinds of echoing. Get back away from the speaker. I'm going to be using Matthew 7, 1 through 14. So a little longer than what's in the bulletin. I really appreciate the band. It is so nice. In 25 years, as a United Methodist pastor, I would have loved to have had a band like that. But I'm Eric Stoops, as Randy told you. I'm a retired Methodist pastor. I currently work for Four County Mental Health. What are we getting so much feedback for, guys? Oh, you don't? Okay, it's just in my ears, then ignore me. Yeah, but I work for Four County. I'm on call every other Sunday, and obviously there's something I get to deal with as soon as service is over, because Brenda's had to go answer my phone twice already this morning. So, sorry about that. Well, as we dive into the scripture this morning, Children's Church is in the back. Sorry, I didn't even say that. It's been too long. I've been one of those people watching on the internet. I will say the band sounds so much better in person. Yeah. Yeah. The internet, my speakers just don't do a good job for what you guys do. Matthew chapter 7, we're going to start with verse 1. Don't judge. Doug told me that he had did a sermon on this a while back, where he told you that you could judge in certain circumstances. Yeah, and that's true. We do need to use our wisdom, but this idea of not judging can be tough. Because sometimes when we judge, we're looking down our nose at somebody else because we want to feel better about us. I want to feel better about my shortcomings, about my sin, about my issues. So I'm going to look at my neighbor and go, well, look at what they're doing. I'm perfectly fine. When in truth, I'm not. I am a sinner, saved by grace. And that's what I've got to keep latching on to. When I want to feel better about myself and start looking down my nose at somebody else, I'm just falling deeper in sin. Now, when I look at somebody else and see, wow, they shouldn't be doing that, and I see, dear Lord, please intervene. Dear Lord, please help them see the error of their ways. And by the way, Lord, continue nudging me on the things I'm doing wrong. That's not the judgment this is talking about. But let's go on here. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And so we got to understand, when I look at others and think, well, how could they do that? I'm saying, God, use the same measuring stick on me that I'm using on them. That makes it tough. When I've got to acknowledge that I'm not where I ought to be. You're a preacher. Preachers are supposed to have it all together. Trust me, we don't. We're just like everybody else. And I'm sure Doug, if he was here, would say, yeah, I've got my shortcomings too. And we need to own those. And the other thing is we need to be willing to talk about them with each other. You see, it's really hard to stop doing something you shouldn't do if you keep it as a secret. If you don't let anybody else know you've got this issue, how can you get help to stop? Yes, God already knows. But you probably need to share that issue with some of the other people here in the room. You probably need to take time to say, you know, I'm struggling. Would you like a moment of confession? You probably noticed that when I'm not here, it's pretty obvious. I have never been one that's able to hide in a crowd. It just doesn't work. I'm sort of right there. Well, quite honestly, over the last year and a half of all this wonderful COVID stuff, some of my inner, what do I even call it? My wanting to stay at home and not leave has really cropped up in a big way. Yeah, I go to work. Okay, yeah, that gets me out of the house. But I don't do a whole lot else. And part of that, I've got to get over, and so I've got to name it and say, you know, it would have been nice if somebody other than Doug would have said, hey, Eric, are you going to come back to church? You know, sometimes we think, well, where are all these people that used to be here every Sunday? And we want to go, well, why aren't they? Have you taken time to call up and say, hey, we'll miss you? Or let's go get a cup of coffee at Scooter's and just talk for a little bit. There might be some others that just need that little encouragement and love. Now, I will admit to, I have trouble admitting that I have any flaws and that I have a bit of agoraphobia wanting to stay home all the time. So I don't know how I would have reacted if you would have called now. But like most of us, the effort would have been appreciated. So who is it that we need to reach out to around us? Well, it goes on talking about trying to pick the speck of dust out of somebody else's eye when you have a plank in yours. That's pretty self-evident. We know that. But then it goes down, you hypocrites, first take the plank out of your own eye, then someone else's. We get that. As we're working on ourselves, then we have the right to say to others, hey, you know, this is something that maybe I see that's causing you some trouble. Hello. Verse 6, though, this one is one that has always given me trouble. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs, or used to say swine in the older versions. If you do, they may trample them under feet and turn and tear you to pieces. What's that? Have you ever tried to talk about the things of God to someone that's not a church person? You know, sometimes that's not the best way to go about it. Sometimes we think, yeah, well, in the church, we don't believe this is right. We don't believe that's right. We think you shouldn't do this. And then we want to start telling everyone else that they shouldn't do all the things. And we tell them that before we tell them, you know, Jesus loves you. And Jesus wants to be your friend. He wants to be your confidant. He wants to take care of you. We need to focus on telling the people that don't go to church, the people that haven't had a good experience in church, about God's love, his acceptance, his care. And once they come to understand that and accept that and accept him, then we can talk about the other things, all the don'ts and all the shouldn'ts and all the don't. You know, we need to be careful how we approach other people. You know, Brenda's a therapist. And if she started talking to her clients about all the things she learned in graduate school, she's going to lose them in the first minute. But if she talks to them about what's going on in your life, how can I help you? There's that love, that understanding, that care. We need to be cautious in how we approach people and not approach them in a way that's going to turn them off and make them angry. We need to approach them in a way that's going to invite them in and cause them to want to spend time with us. And want to spend time with the others that are here in this room. Doug's good at that. I've seen him out in public and how he addresses other people, how he's concerned, how he listens. He does a very good job with that. And we're very lucky to have him as our pastor. This next verse here. Ask and you will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. Love that one. How often do we forget to ask God for what we need? Now, I will admit, I would love to have a brand new 3/4 ton to a ton pickup truck, you know, crew cab, long bed. If I ask God for that, he's going to laugh at me and say, Eric, that's not really something you need. That's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about, dear God, I need the ability to do the job you've created me to do. Help me as I go through this day to be your representative where you've planted me. And maybe you're saying, dear Lord, as I am at home this afternoon, help me to be your representative in my neighborhood or in Walmart or in wherever you're going to go to lunch. Help me to be your person where you planted me. Dear Lord, give me wisdom, give me patience, give me tolerance when I'm driving down the road and that wonderful person just cut me off. Dear Lord, give me what I need. Now, I think I've even said this before, so if I've repeated, sorry, right here. Repeating comes with age. Brenda, for years, has told me about that there's days she'll pray that God will bring in the people that she can help. Well, I've worked for Four County for almost 6 years. It dawned on me several months ago, why am I not starting my day by praying, dear Lord, bring in the people that we can help. Bring in the people that truly want us to be alongside them. And Lord, those that are just going to muddy up the day and don't want anything we have to offer, keep them away. I've been shocked at how my schedule has changed completely since I've done that. It's like, obviously I'm a little slow at learning, but it's actually gotten to a point that the others in my office have noticed a difference on the days I work. And that's because of God. And I can say, that's because God's answering my prayer. What do you need to be asking God to help you with? What is it that you need to knock and seek on a daily basis? God's just waiting to answer. He loves you and he wants to be a part of your every day. Verse 9 and on it goes, which of you would give your son, if your son asked for bread, would give him a stone? Or if he asked for a fish, you'd give him a snake? If you, verse 11, if you, then though you are evil. Wait a second. Did Jesus just say to the people listening to him, you're evil? Yeah, we've got to understand who we are before we can actually come to him and trust him. How many times have you heard people say, well, I'm basically good? Or they say, I'm trying my best. Or I do more good things than bad things, so I think I'll get to heaven. Have you heard folks say that? Yeah. Don't sit on your hands for a second. Have you ever said that yourself? That's not how you get to heaven. You do not get to heaven by being a good person. You don't get to heaven by giving a whole bunch. You don't get to heaven by saying the right words. You get to heaven because of the grace of Jesus Christ. You get to heaven because he loved us, you and me, so much that he gave his life for our sin. So his blood covers over the mess that I am. That's all it is. It's that simple. It's that difficult. And see, we have to keep realizing every day, I need him. And we have to keep realizing every day, I still have a tendency to do bad things. I still have a tendency to turn the wrong way. I still have a tendency to be human. But through Jesus, I'm saved and I'm loved. Isn't that amazing? I don't know why he chose to do it. If it were me that had to make that decision to save the world, I couldn't have done it. And I can't wait till I get to heaven to be able to quiz him about some of this stuff and say, Lord, how is it that you love us this much? Lord, how is it that you care and are able to overlook my shortcomings? And I'm sure he's going to tell us. That's going to be enjoyable. Well, now we actually get to the verse that was my whole reason for this sermon today. Verse 12. So in everything, do unto others what you would have them do unto you. For this sums up the law and the prophet. And the reason this has come to mind, has anybody noticed on the TV or on the internet or on the radio or the podcasts and the talk shows that there's a lot of conflict in our country right now? There's people on this side, there's people on that side, and they can't talk to each other. And there's people like that in our own families. Yeah, people like that at work. There are some subjects at the lunch table at work you don't bring up because you know it's going to turn into an ugly rest of the day. Have you guys experienced that anywhere nearby? Yeah. Okay, I cannot control the politicians that we have going to Washington. I can't control the politicians here in our state. I can't control anybody else's actions and words than myself. And so for me, it's got to come down to do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. So regardless of their reaction, regardless of what they say, I need to listen to what they're saying because I'd really like it if they listened to me. Let me tell you something that happened this last week. I was in one of those wonderful two-day trainings, but because of COVID, we're doing it by Zoom. And they had breakout groups. And I was in my breakout group, and we were a small one, so we'd get done with our things early and could talk. Well, in my group is a guy my age. You know, that wonderful number nobody believes right now because you always say that you're one of the nines. Well, I really am one of the nines this year. There's a guy my age in the group, and there's a young lady that I'm guessing's mid to late 20s. Well, my children are late 20s to early 30s, and my kids have refused to get vaccinated, and that has driven me nuts. So I had this young person, she's actually young, she's 7 months pregnant, and I had a few minutes of private time there. I could just say, I'm concerned about my children. What could I say to them that might encourage them to be vaccinated? She's the same age group. But she said, I don't know. I got vaccinated when I was 3 months pregnant because I felt it was the right thing to do. And so then she and I just kept talking about this. We get back into the big group meeting, and the guy my age says to the big group of 150 people, these two think I'm a communist because I won't get vaccinated, and they're trying to pressure me into getting vaccinated. I wasn't. I didn't. But that's what he told the big group. We've got to learn to be able to talk to each other and not take it so personally. We've got to learn to listen to each other. I will say, I'm still mind blown. He said his son is a doctor in New York City and keeps saying, Dad, you got to get vaccinated. And that didn't even work for him. But the thing is, let others speak their mind. Why? Because don't you like it when someone listens to you when you speak your mind? Yeah, I do. Be a good listener. And then just hope they will offer you the same courtesy that you've offered them. But it normally starts out, you've got to listen first and speak after. It's interesting, preaching every Sunday for 25 years, I could tell you down to the minute how long a sermon would last. After not preaching for the last 6+ years, I'm going to be done way too early. Yeah, I see a hand over here. Terry said, attaboy, do it. This next little bit, though, verse 13 and 14. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. What we got to wrap our head around. Yes, Jesus saves. Jesus is the way, the truth, the light. Jesus is the only way to heaven. But we human beings keep wanting to add something on. We human beings want to go, well, if I do this and if I do that, and that's not how it is. Jesus is the gate that we enter through. And it's only him. You can't be smart enough. You can't be rich enough. You can't be humble enough or poor enough. You can't be to this or to that or to anything. Jesus is the gate. Years ago, I had a wonderful carpenter in the church, and he put up on the stage for me two doors. I mean, real doors that you could open and shut. And those were up there for a while. I had door one and door two. It's really an easy choice. Do you choose to spend eternity with Jesus in heaven, door one, or do you choose to spend eternity away from Jesus? It's one or the other. Now, some people, a good loving Lord's not going to send you to hell. No, he doesn't. He honors your choice. God is not going to force you into anything. God is not going to say, you have to do this because it's for your own good. He's going to say, Eric, what do you want? Do you want to be with me, door one? Or do you want to be separated from me, door two? And we've got to answer that question for ourselves. We've got to take time to say, do I want to go my own way? Do I want to have my free will? Do I want to be able to do whatever I want? Or do I want to say, Jesus, I love you. Wrap your arms around me. And surprisingly, we get even more of the free will and free choice because he's going to help guide us into a fuller, richer life than we ever had before. What's it going to be? Now, as we wrap up today, you got some choices to make. How do you respond to the sermon? I will admit that for my dad, for the majority of his life, going to church on Sunday morning was something he did because mom told him when they were first married he was going to church. And it was quite apparent that, you know, dad would get up on Sunday mornings, he would shower, get dressed, and then he would be in the car. And we were expected to be in the car before he got there because he was putting it in reverse as soon as it started. We would go to the 8:30 service on Sunday mornings because he didn't want to waste his whole day. I know. That was my dad. But because mom had said early on, we're going, I'm not going to look like a divorced person on Sunday morning, I was raised in the church and I was given the opportunity to get to know who Jesus is. And that was an amazing gift. And Dad, very close to the end of his life, was explained the route to heaven by a former student of his. He was a teacher for all his years. And he accepted Jesus right there at the end. Was Jesus mad because Dad had wasted all those years? No. Jesus was thrilled because here's another one of my lost sheep that's come home. He happened to be a lost sheep that's been in church every single Sunday morning. Or do you really know him as Lord and Savior? Are there people in your life that maybe say, oh yeah, I know the Bible. I've got a brother. He's read the Bible through many times. He can quote it, but it doesn't impact his life. Do you have somebody in your life like that that you need to be praying for on a regular basis, that God will help them finally understand and come to him? Or do you have a neighbor that's driving you nuts? And you need to say, dear Lord, this person is driving me to distraction. I need you to help me love them so they can see your love through me. Or maybe it's another person at work or at the grocery store or some other place. God wants to use you once you've known him to reach others who are just like you. As I pray, then, when the band comes up and plays the closing song, you're welcome to come up. I'd be happy to pray for you, or if you want to go to the side rails and pray privately, please do that. Also, once we're all finished, I'm going to stand up here. If you want to come greet me, great. I'm not going to make a traffic jam at the door, but I'd love to talk to you after the service. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, this whole idea of doing to others as I want them to do unto me at times is so foreign because I just want them to treat me well. Well, Lord, I've done that to you too. I've wanted you to do good things for me, but I forget I need to do things for you out of my love and thanks for the gift of Jesus. Help us, Lord, this morning to be able to examine our lives and see what it is that's causing us not to be fully committed to you. Wrap your arms around us. Show us your love and give us the courage to be your people in this community.